places, but he'll go around and reward those who said a verse. All right, Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number, let's start in verse number 12. Verse number 12, before we do though, some questions, and if you answer a question, then you get to get a piece of chocolate. So, according to 2 Peter 3:9, what is the Lord wanting everybody to do? Pastor. Repent. To repent. Miss Dallas, if you want to go get Pastor a piece of candy, he deserves one. Another question. According to Matthew 4, what were Peter and James and John's occupation? Mrs. Cook. They were fishermen. Mrs. Cook gets a piece of candy. And 1 Peter 1:16, from our background reading, what does God expect and want from his Christians? What does he want them to be? What does he want his children to be? You guys said verses, Mr. Adams. Holy, be holy, for I am holy. Mr. Adams gets a piece of candy. Good job. Good job. I like it when you do your background reading. Next week's background reading will be on the back of this week's lesson. And you can read that and fill out some questions, some of the questions I just asked you here this morning. All right, thank you, Dallas. All right, Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 12. Let's start reading. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for everyone who's here in Sunday school today. I pray, Lord, that you would show to us from your word what you would have for us this morning, that I would not say anything more than you want me to say and anything less than you want me to say. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to us here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter number 4 and verse 19, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Our lesson study is following Christ and fishing for men, and this is the title of this lesson, lesson number 2. Last week was talking about Jesus, well, 2 weeks ago was talking about Jesus is the Son of God. We can trust him, we can spread him. Why? Because we know he's God's Son, he's not just a man, he does miraculous things, and he can do things in other people's lives. And if we truly grasp that, then we want that to take place in other people's lives, and it will encourage us to be fishing for men. Let's read in the book here on page number 9. As we read God's word, we understand clearly that we cannot be saved from sin without Christ. The Bible is very clear on that. Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So while it is true that we have to be saved through Jesus Christ, we cannot be saved from sin without Jesus Christ, it is equally true that we cannot live the Christian life apart from Jesus Christ. The same process that took place at your salvation, if you are saved, and where you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for eternal life, that's the same thing that God wants us to do each and every day of our lives, putting our faith and trust in him and our finances and with our time and with our talents and with everything else in our life. He wants us to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So it's the same thing. It's not like we get saved by grace and now we have to live the Christian life by ourselves in our own strength. No, that's not true. We get saved and we're going to heaven because of God. And now we are able to live the Christian life because of God as well. It is equally true that we cannot live the Christian life apart from Jesus Christ, from the Lord Jesus. Second paragraph. Christ said in Matthew 4:19, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Every believer is to follow Christ and fish for men. If we are going to obey the Lord, we must understand these truths. Truth number one, God wants everyone to be saved. People in here just quoted that verse, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But God is not sending people to hell. He is allowing people, sadly, to go to hell because of their own choices, because of their choice to not receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. God made hell for the devil and his angels, the Bible says. So God wants everyone to be saved. Truth number one. Truth number two. God uses people to do his work. God uses people to do his work. And that can be kind of confusing sometimes. Why? Because God could do it. We should all agree that in America today we have big problems, and God could stretch down his hand and fix it all. He wouldn't have to stretch down his hand. He could fix it all. He could make it so everybody gets saved. But he chooses to use people to do his work. And I believe that's simply because he wants us to have the benefit of him living his life through our life. In the end of Matthew, we call it the Great Commission. Go ye therefore into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the world. He wants us to do his work. Why? So then, because he wants us to experience Christ living through us, Christ living out his life through us. We have to yield our lives to him. So truth number two, God uses people to do his work. How can they hear except for a preacher, the Romans says. We have to preach the gospel ourselves. God uses people to do his work. Truth number three, every one of God's children is commanded, it's commanded to live a holy life. 1 Peter 1:16, be ye holy, as is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Why do we need to be holy? Why? Because God is holy, and he wants us to be like him. So therefore, if we are going to try to be like Christ, we have to be holy as well and live a separated life from this world. Truth number four, the Holy Spirit gives us power to live a holy life. John 14:16, Jesus said, I'm going to leave you a comforter. When I leave, the comforter is going to be with you. And then in chapter 16 and verse 13, he says that Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. That comforter, he will guide you into all truth. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me. He gives us power. The Holy Spirit gives us power to live a holy life. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we got his Holy Spirit. It's now taken up residence in our life. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says in Corinthians. And now that Holy Ghost wants to act out. He wants to do what God wants him to do, but he has to do it through us. So he gives us the power. If we yield to the Holy Spirit, he will work in our lives, and that we will work out as Christ would have us. So the Holy Spirit gives us power to live a holy life. And then truth number five, God does his work in this world through the local church. Matthew 4, verse 19, he is starting his church right here. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He started collecting people. He started collecting people, and several months ago, my dad, pastor, went through a lesson on the disciples, a series of lessons on the disciples, and how he was pointing out that these disciples got saved under John the Baptist's ministry, and then Jesus called them to form the church, and then when he left, then the church in action, we see them at Pentecost. So God uses the church to fulfill his great commission. That is the ultimate purpose of the church, is to win the lost, be fishing for men. So turn the page, following Christ and fishing for men. We'll be looking specifically at Matthew 4 and verse 19. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. We see the principle. Many have placed the emphasis, the book says, on the follow-up program to the neglect of the follow-me program. Christ said, follow me, then fish for men. The principle is clear. Everything we do with and for men must be preceded by our time with God. The first call on our lives is to be with him. Mark 3:14, Jesus is picking out his disciples, the 12, and he called them to be with him that he may send them. Turn over to Mark 3. Let's look at that verse, Mark chapter number 3. Mark chapter number 3 and verse 14. Says, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. So which came first, the sending them forth to preach or the with him part? With him. So he puts an emphasis on being with Jesus. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men, he says. The first call in our lives is to be with Jesus. And then after we spend time with Jesus, that's when God can use us. When we're following Christ, then he starts using us. Everything we do in the box, everything we do with and for men must be preceded by our time with God. Next paragraph. This principle is for every area of the Christian life. None of us can be what we ought to be toward people until we have first been with Christ. This applies to husbands, wives, employees, employers, Christian workers. It applies to all of life. We must first follow Christ, then fish for men. We can't get that backwards. There's too many people out there operating in the flesh trying to do the will of God, and you cannot live the way that God wants you to live in your flesh. The Bible says in Galatians, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So instead of trying so hard to not do what's wrong, we just need to do what's right and follow him. And you know what's going to happen? We're not going to do what's wrong. The principle is the same with our relationships. Christ first, then people. If we want to win people to Christ, God is not going to do the work in their heart until we allow him to do that same work in our heart. A preacher is most effective in his preaching when he can preach and tell the congregation that, hey, you can have this happen to you. And it's effective when it's evident that that same thing that he's telling them to do in their heart, he's already done in his heart. And it's exemplary to do that. We have to allow God to first work in us, then he can work through us. Christ first, then people. We may achieve some measure of success in life while neglecting God, the book says. These successes, in quotation marks, are our greatest failures. There is no abiding satisfaction in the Christian life unless we first follow after Christ. What a powerful principle. Let me read that again. These successes, we may achieve some measure of success in life while neglecting God. These successes in our life are our greatest failures. If we try to do ministry, or if we preach a sermon, or if we teach a class, and we did it in our flesh, and there was a good outcome, but we did it in our flesh, that actually can be detrimental to us growing as a Christian. Why? Because we're not going to go further. Sure, it may have worked for now, but when other stuff comes, you need God. You're going to need God for one, because the tests are going to get bigger. They're not going to get smaller, and you need God for that, so we need to start practicing allowing the Spirit to use us, being controlled, being submissive to God when the small stuff comes, or things that we might be able to do in our flesh, in our own strength. So then when we get to those times when we can't do it in our strength, then it's a no-brainer. It's easy. It's habitual where we're just trusting in God. You know, there's a principle I was just looking at in Genesis. Abraham said, Genesis 22, God comes to Abraham and he says, Abraham, I need you to offer Isaac for a sacrifice. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son. Now wait just a second. Abraham had Ishmael before he had Isaac. But here's the thing is, Ishmael wasn't legitimate. Ishmael was outside of the will of God. So therefore, when God came to Abraham and he said, take now thy son, thine only son, God was ignoring. If we get a success illegitimately outside of God, God doesn't even view that as legitimate. He doesn't even view it. He didn't even view Ishmael as Abraham's son, because that was something that happened outside of his will. And so if we really want successes, if we want God to count us success in our life, we need to do everything inside of his will, and everything that's inside of his will is therefore going to be counted by him as a success. Anything outside of that is illegitimate. So we see the principle: Christ first, then people. Christ first, then people. Life is not made up of things. Life is made up of relationships. You can ask a dozen different preachers and they'll all give you a different answer. Does ministry come first or does family come first? Which one do you go first, ministry or family? Well, the truth is it's neither. It's who comes first. Who comes first? God does. Second to God is what's the most important relationship next to your relationship with God? Your relationship with your spouse. And then your family. So if we're focused on our who's in life instead of the things, then we're going to be putting God first, and then everything is just going to line up right after that. And so in our relationships with people, with our employees, our employers, like the book says, it needs to be God first. And if God's first, everything is just going to fall right into place. And same thing comes for fishing for men. If we put God first, our relationship with others, our fishing for men, telling people about the gospel is going to come naturally. Why? Because God is going to be using us. So the principle, secondly, the priority God establishes for the Christian life is following Christ and fishing for men. The reason Jesus Christ came was to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I've been singing that verse all week long. I'm a little tired of it. But for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. What an amazing verse. He came to seek and to save. He didn't come to be ministered unto, but he came to minister and to give his life ransom for many. So many people, the box says, go through the motions of Christianity but miss the priority God has given. So if we go through life saying that, yes, it's lived the Christian life, but there's a different mentality, there's a different attitude when we realize that every time we come to church on Sunday, it's for the purpose of winning people to the Lord. It's for the purpose. It's for the priority of following Christ. It's for the priority of following Christ and fishing for men. If we set that as top priority, everything else will just take a back seat. The Lord Jesus found men who had been catching live fish and casting them aside to die. He called them to fish for men who were dead in trespasses and sins, and to give them the gospel so that they might be made alive through Christ. So I like that. I like that illustration. The fishers were fishing for fish that were alive, and then they cast them off on the beach, and then they would die. So then God comes and says, hey, I want you to fish for men. And in this case, you're not going to be catching live things and killing them. You're going to be catching people who are dead in their sin, and God will make them alive again. Alive. Bring the Spirit alive. Let them live the life that God wanted them to have. So With that being said, if it's a priority that that is taking place, then if we do something in our life that is going to perish, for instance, if we're spending our time working on our material possessions, our physical possessions that one day will pass away, they're all going to burn up. Our property is going to burn up. No matter how much you spent on it, it's going to burn up. So are we focusing on things that are going to die, that are going to perish? Are we focusing on souls that could possibly be made alive? Sure, we can pave the parking lot at the church, but it's really nice to send that money to missionaries and so then they can reach people so then they can be made alive, so people around the world can get saved. Our priority needs to be on the things that we are making alive. We may think God is so very pleased with all our activity, but what is His priority? People around us are lost and need to be born again. If you teach or if you serve in any way, keep in mind the main goal. Keep in mind the main goal, following Christ and fishing for men. Most believers find something in God's work to do other than following Christ and fishing for men. It has slid out of first place in our life. There's a quote here by a preacher, Dr. Lee Robertson. Most Christians do more witnessing to the lost in the first 6 months they are saved than they do the rest of their lives. And it's because after somebody gets saved, then they're excited about God. They're excited, and it's that thing, that following Christ and fishing for men, that has become first place when they got saved. And then for, like you said, for 6 months or so, they're excited. They're telling people about Jesus. They're living Christian life, not in the flesh, in the spirit, because it's priority. But after a while, we kind of get comfortable, and we kind of lose our zeal, lose our fervor for following Christ and fishing for men, and we end up doing more in that first 6 months than we do the rest of our lives. If we have everything else right and this one thing wrong, then we have not succeeded everywhere else. We have failed everywhere else. Our priority is to be following Christ and fishing for men. Otherwise, our priority is wrong. And as I said before, our successes can be our greatest fault. We may think if we're focusing on stuff that's perishing, those same successes, those same Ishmaels in our life, God doesn't count as a success. He doesn't count that as something worthwhile. We need to keep that priority. The priority is not to just maintain good relationships with our family, our good relationships with people, or put our time in at church. The priority is to follow Christ, and everything else will fall into place. So we see the principle, we see the priority, and last we see the progression. The progression in Matthew chapter number 4 and verse 19. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. In order to follow somebody, what do you have to do? In order to follow somebody, you have to do. So if you're sitting in your seat, and I come walking by, and I say, hey, follow me, in order to obey me, what do you have to do as I keep walking? You have to get up and follow. So it's not just you can't just take one step and you're done, right? You have to take multiple steps to follow. The progression. It's a life, the Christian life is a continual progression of following God. You never, ever, ever arrive. You never, ever, ever arrive. And by the way, when you're following Christ, you know, the disciples, when they were following Christ, they had the opportunity to fish for men while they were following Christ. So the whole time you're following Christ, you know, it doesn't say, reach perfection and I will make you fishers of men. No, it just says, follow me. So somebody could follow Christ for only 6 months. But as long as they're following Christ, they can be fishers for men. And it doesn't matter if you've been following Christ for 20 years. You're still following Christ. He'll make you a fisher of men. It doesn't matter if you've been following Christ for a year. You can be a fisher of men. All you have to do, what's the requirement for God to make you a fisher of men? Follow. It doesn't say follow a certain amount of time. It just says follow. The progression in Matthew 4. We know that we are to be fishers of men, to be bringing people to Christ. But how? The Lord said, I will make you. So, well, let's finish reading it. But how does he make us fishers of men? It all begins with follow me. So it's we follow him. And then, so we can't control a lot of times our fishing for men. We can't control our own fishing for men, but we can control how we follow. And then who controls fishing for men? Who controls our ability to fish for men? God does. God does. I will make you fishers of men. But what do we have to do? We have to follow. We have to take that next step. It's an attitude. It's an attitude. It starts with your heart. It's an attitude. But if something is really rooted, if you really believe something in your heart, it's going to lead to not just it's not going to be just an attitude. It's going to be an attitude that turns into action. If you believe me that I'm going someplace good, and I say follow me, and you're going to what? You're going to say, you know what, I'm going to follow him, and you're going to get up and follow. And these fishermen, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. The progression, who makes you a fisherman? I will make you fishers of men. If we are not fishers of men, it is obvious that we are not following him. Let me say that again. If we are not fishers of men, it is obvious that we are not following him. So if you claim to be following Christ, where are the fish? Where's the men? Because it will happen. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It doesn't say, and I might make you fishers of men, depending on if you're good with kids or you're good at sharing the gospel. No, it says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It's a promise. So if we are not fishers of men, it is obvious that we are not following him. Think about it. Who have I caught? Who have I caught? Think about it. Just to yourself, who have I caught? Who has been caught into the net? And if you can't think of anyone, then ask yourself, is it because I'm not following? And according to the Bible, it is. If we are following him, he will make us fishers of men. It is obvious that we are not following him if we aren't catching fish. If we were following him, his passion would be our passion, and his purpose would be our purpose. The progression is this. As we follow Christ, he makes us fishers of men. Turn over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. There should be fruit in our lives. There should be someone, something you can point to and say, hey, I had a part in that. I had a part in catching that man for Christ. John chapter 15 and verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. You know, the branch can't bear fruit if it's no longer on the tree. So what do we have to do in our Christian life? If we want to bear fruit, we have to what? Abide in him. Abide in me and I in you. Sometimes, I think we might have an issue. I might have an issue sometimes where, oh yeah, Christ liveth in me. You know, I accept Jesus Christ in my heart. He's in me, but I'm not really in him. Because it goes both ways. I abide in me, and I in you. Abide in me. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You know what the secret to joy is? Abiding in him. The whole book of Philippians, as we looked at several weeks ago, was joy, all about joy. And Paul says, I haven't arrived yet. I'm still following. I'm still abiding. I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize. Joy comes for being fishing when we fish for men. And how do we fish for men? Well, we allow God to mold us, to make us, but in order to do that, we have to follow him. The progression is this: as we follow Christ, he makes us fishers of men. In the blank, you can go after the lost without following Christ. We can all go after the lost without following Christ. But you cannot truly follow Christ without going after the lost. It doesn't say you cannot truly follow Christ without going after morality, without going after the lost. You know, we have lots of do-gooder people in our world today, and they all think that they're Christian because they're doing good. If you're following Christ, if you claim to follow Christ, there's going to be people in your life that are going to be getting saved. There's going to be fishing for men going on. There's going to be things that you'll be doing that you can point to and say, hey, God used that. I gave to that missionary, and that missionary read that letter, and that man got saved, and he did it with that John of Romans that I bought, that I put together. You can go after the lost without following Christ, but you cannot truly follow Christ without going after the lost. That's the end of our lesson. Following Christ and fishing for men. What's the main goal? What's the main goal? It's that the main priority is following Christ. And who makes us fishers of men? He does. I will make you fishers of men. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for the lesson in your word. I pray, Lord, that we would be serious about examining ourselves. Are we following you? And that we would be honest with the results. We don't see any results in our life. I pray, Lord, that we'd be humble and say, Lord, we're not following you like we should. We're not being holy like we should. I pray, Lord, that we would have your passion, that we'd have your burden for people to get saved. Lord, you bless the remainder of the day, Lord. Bless the messages, Lord. Pray, Lord, you bless the baptisms after the service, and that people would get saved, or people would be soft and listening to what you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen.